This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Welcome, everyone, to RB1 : a Fantasy Football Podcast, part of the Fake Teams Podcast channel. I am your humble host and the keeper of the Tom Brady Worry Index, Pete Rogers, and I am joined by some of the guys. We have resident old man and esteemed botanist, Clark Barnes, and ginger clean-shaven man and political wild card, Nick Botiford. Guys, how are we doing tonight?
Doing great, Pete.
You're good, man. How are you?
I am good. Clark, not only are you a botanist, though, you let us know, you're also becoming a duck owner. So I guess you decided that you had to one-up us all. Now that we each have one pet, you had to be like, well, got to get more pets to be the superior pet owner on the pod.
Yeah, I'm excited. We went to the old Tractor Supply just to look around, and they had chickens and ducks. And I don't know if you've ever seen little chickens or ducks, but they are freaking cute. So we're getting ducks.
Did you decide that because ducks, you found goslings? Is that what young ducks are called?
I'm not sure. I think goslings are...
Yes. Although there's a geese.
I think those are geese, right?
What's a duckling? Is it duckling?
I think it's duckling. Yeah. So I figure if we're going to put in all of the effort, ducks are cuter because they look like they shouldn't be walking or flying. They waddle their little butts, which is nice. And duck eggs are much better than chicken eggs. So
to eat, you're going to eat this animal's... Oh.
Yeah.
I've never had duck eggs before.
It's good. It's a lot of yolk and less white. And they fetch fetus. A premium as well. Yeah.
That is super fascinating. I was wondering if you were going to share whether or not you would be harvesting anything from them or if they were just your friends.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, so I'm a city person, so I'm sure they're going to be incredibly pampered, but I am also going to enjoy the harvest. Yeah.
How often do they lay?
I think it's about once a day once they get of age. So the average for these guys is like 280 a year. So here we go, the duck podcast. When they molt or shed their leaves, that takes a lot of energy, and so they don't lay eggs. And then I believe sometimes during the winter they don't do it either.
They lay an egg a day, basically?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Did well, there's they breakfast. They shed their leaves?
I might have. I meant feathers.
I was like, I'm learning so much duck terminology right now.
Yeah.
A young duck is a gosling, and ducks have leaves.
Yeah, the RB1, we're figuring it out podcast.
Yeah, the RB1 duck podcast.
So we built a little brooder out of a giant Rubbermaid thing for when they're young, and then we're going to build a shed this week for their roost.
Damn.
Clark, that's so cool.
Was this all spur of the moment? Because you just saw adorable ducklings, or you were like, you know what, we should get something that provides our morning eggs?
We've been kicking it around for a while, but seeing Love them it. Kind of
gonna seal happen. The deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you buy them on the spot?
No. I am a little bit too cautious for that.
Right on. I spent the day actually gardening in Kristen's garden. So nice. I've also got the green thumb thing. So just, for the intros.
Pete, no, don't. Cool. Thanks, Nick. Yeah. Thanks. No, I'll make sure to include that in there. Yeah.
But copycat I was super serious.
Nick Botiford. Is that what you want?
Well, no, I'll have you know, I'm a former landscaper, but I have to show Kristen, your photos that you sent of the garden or of your little operation you have in there. Kristen's got some wonderful seeds growing right now herself on her windowsill, but they're in egg cartons. They don't have the light set up and stuff.
That's so all right.
I'm going to try to get her to get on your level.
Hey, dude, there's no right way to do it. That she's doing it counts. So that's awesome.
Right on.
Yeah.
We had an herb garden growing out on our steps until it snowed, and then they all died, except for the mint. The mint like fought its way through the snow, even though there was like a foot of snow sitting on it. Mint's like, ha, fuck you, snow. Guess what I'm still doing?
Growing. All right, let's get to it.
All right. Well, we got some NFL news to talk about. Austin Eckler, first big signing of 2020 NFL free agency. Austin Eckler staying in Los Angeles. Signed a four-year, $200 million. $24.5 million. Personally, I'm very happy with this. First of all, undrafted running back. Get your paychecks when you get your paychecks. Well done. But also, he emerged as a fantasy god last year when he took over for the Chargers. It took over in Melvin Gordon's place. And now that he is staying there, I have to think that that means that the full running back reins will be his. He will be in charge of that backfield for that money. And he finished an RB4 in PPR last year. And I have to think that he's going to be a top 15 back this year.
Yeah, I'm a little scarred from making assumptions about the little guy getting the workload after we saw, oh man, Bill O'Brien went out and gave a second round pick for Duke Johnson. He's finally going to get his chance. And then sinister old Carlos Hyde comes to town.
Carlos Hyde.
But I do like Eckler. The Chargers don't pay no one, but when they pay someone, they do generally seem to feature them. They're happy to let guys walk. So signing Eckler, I think, is a really good sign for his fantasy value. The Chargers, though, boy, it might be a rough year in Los Angeles.
So I, at first, when I saw this, I was so pumped because I was like, right on, you guys made the decision. You did not pay a running back in Melvin Gordon. And it took me like a day to be like, wait, no, fuck, they paid a running back. God damn, it was just, I was so caught up in them on the idea of them not giving money to Melvin Gordon. I was like, all right, this is awesome. And then, yeah, they get $6 million a year, which isn't crazy, but that's a lot.
Yeah, except for the fact, I mean, Austin Eckler, like, you have to, he certainly earned that contract. I mean, he became, if not the one of the best receiving backs in the NFL last year. Normally people think of Alvin Kamara, but Eckler certainly did a lot more than Alvin Kamara last year from a stat perspective. And just from an, like, he was the number one weapon more or less on that offense.
And what is it? His third or fourth year, the undrafted free agent guys get to big boy contracts a lot
earlier.
Faster.
Yeah.
So I guess one saving grace, Nick, would be he's not going into his fifth or sixth year with this deal. It's still relatively early in his career. So, but $6 million is not chump change for a running back. You are right.
That's a fair point. But I mean, that's the eighth highest paid running back in the NFL. Like that's serious money to invest in a position that doesn't bring a lot of expected points added.
But he brings a lot of fantasy value, Nick. You need to keep fantasy valuable players around on your team.
Now you're making sense.
Who's Tyrod gonna get the ball to?
Who else is Tyrod gonna throw the football to?
Yeah, honestly, if he's got any of his like athletic ability left in the tank, it could be a pretty fun offense to watch. Just because he's not accurate. He's like a less at this point athletic Josh Allen. And I, you know, it could be fun, just hucking bombs to Eckler.
Well,
he's better quarterback than Josh Allen, but it's not. But not by a ton. Certainly,
I don't think he is at this point, and I don't know if he ever was as good as Josh Allen has shown he can be. I mean, it's all whatever theoretical. I guess the situation. Whatever the theoretical situation is that we're going to try to figure out here, I would take Josh Allen right now over Tyrod Taylor.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
But I would take Tyrod Taylor 5 years ago over Josh Allen 5 years ago.
I don't know if I would. That's interesting. Anyway,
Josh Allen wasn't in the league 5 years ago.
I'm happy for him.
It doesn't matter for the Chargers anyways, because Tom Brady is starting a new film production company in Hollywood, which basically means he's going to LA. So the Tom Brady worry index is at code red right now.
Tom Brady is going to play for the Raiders, as we've stated, as I've stated on the podcast months ago.
Months. So. Jared Goff is getting ousted everyone thinks it's Jimmy G who's going to get ousted in California, but it's actually Jared Goff.
So, hey, real quick, we're going to move on from this, but I'm looking at the top 10 paid running backs list right now. If we bring the Eckler contract into the fold, as far as average value per year goes, you know who number 11 is? Duke Johnson. What the hell? Why, God, Bill O'Brien, if you're going to pay someone. So this is with the logic we were just talking about. Like, if you're going to pay somebody, then hopefully you use him. But
don't you dare speak ill of GM Bill O'Brien. The man is a god. He can do no wrong.
I'm going to hate draft season so much for the next 3 years because of freaking Bill O'Brien.
I'm so excited.
I'm so sorry.
This would have been a really nice segue, but Nick steered us astray. We were talking about the Rams, and then Nick started talking about the Texans, and now it's a terrible transition. But the Rams unveiled their new logo, which looks like a Chargers logo / the letters LA with a Trump comb over. It blows my mind that teams with all of the resources and money they have that – this kind of shit happens where they just can't make good jerseys or they just can't make a good logo. It's like, come on, what are we doing here? There are people on Twitter who mock up jerseys that look incredible. Like, just hire them and have them go crazy. Why are we having, analog clocks or whatever, digital clock numbers? Why are we having this like lightning bolt hairdo on the LA as it's supposed to be a ram horn? It just is not good. So let's fix that LA.
Yeah, I just looked at it. Doesn't look great, Pete.
That's not good. It's not like what was the thought process there? I would love to hear the thought process behind this is the logo that we're going to move forward with.
Wait, is this the Rams or the Chargers?
Exactly. That's never a good thing when you're in one, when you've both moved to a new city, when you're both moving to LA, trying to win LA over. The worst possible thing you can do is make your new logo look like a logo for the team that you're competing for in the city. It's like if the Clippers redesigned their logos to be the Lakers logo, just said Clippers on it. It's not a good look.
So it looks like they're walking it back, though.
Are they? Because they realized that it was terrible. Is this a Sonic the Hedgehog thing?
I think so, yeah.
So I'm wondering if they let fans decide, because I think the last time that sticks out in my memory that fans got to decide something, we ended up with the Houston Texans as a name. Maybe this is like the most popular design that a bunch of idiots decided would be good.
It's funny. I can't unsee the Trump.
As soon as you see it, it's there forever. That's all you're gonna see now.
How fitting that it's a California team. I bet that's making Californians very happy.
Very happy. At some point in our future, when we become a multi-dimensional platform, podcast, TV show, book writing company where people just pay us a lot of money to hear our opinions, we'll do a deep dive anthology in the creation of the Houston Texans and settling on the name Texans to name a football team. I feel like there's got to be a lot there
to discuss that.
I feel like there's a lot to unpack there.
Sorry, LA. Hopefully they will realize their mistake and back off of it. I always like to tell people, don't be afraid to fail. But once you recognize that you have failed, you should try something else. Don't continue to fail over and over.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if you're listening right now, don't fail on these new jerseys that you're unveiling.
Dude, they just need to go back to the 80s.
Just go to the creamsicles.
Their old school logo. Creamsicles. So sick.
That's all you need to do. All you need to do, Tampa. Finally, in the NFL news, Amari Cooper wants to be a Cowboy for life, or at least the rest of his life since he started the NFL with the Raiders, which he's forgotten about. But so
I don't want to do contract negotiations through the media talk. You guys go ahead.
But we are the media, Clark. We have.
I know.
To.
But there's three of us, so you guys take this one.
I mean, there's nothing to say. Is Amari Cooper actually going to remain a Dallas Cowboy? I doubt it. So, sorry, Amari. Dreams don't come true.
If they let him go, that is criminal mismanagement of their resources.
But would you expect anything less from Jerry?
Yeah, they made me believe with Kellen Moore, man.
Jerry, Jerry made the mistake of not just paying Dak at the beginning of the season. So now they're going to franchise Dak. And then you're going to what are you going to do? You're going to give Amari Cooper the biggest wide receiver contract in NFL history. And then basically you're in exact the same kind of cap hell where all of your money is allocated to the offense. You're losing Byron Jones that way. And you're going to, you know, what are we doing here, people? What are we doing here, Becca? What are we doing here? Becca is unpacking all of these packages she got in the mail right next to me. Just rudely
we're
stopping
professionals
all
here
this podcast.
On the RB1 podcast. We're professionals.
We are professionals. Cats. We'll fight through this pain. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Some people.
I don't know. I feel like Amari's going to stay and they are going to tag Dak. I think a lot of the cap stuff in the NFL is smoke and mirrors and magic. The Cowboys are one of the few teams that do spend the cap space. They're not like these other sneaky little teams like the Colts that never spend any money on anyone and still make millions of dollars and crap out a bad product when their magical quarterback retires unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I think they're all going to end up there. And in a couple of years, people are going to be kind of disappointed with an aging Zeke and all of this money tied up in Amari and Dak trying to get it done behind a faltering offensive line. But that's a podcast for 4 years from now. So
perfect. Well, we'll pencil it in for the middle of what month are we in? Middle of March. Well, 4 years from now, March.
Tony Romo is still going to be living high though.
2024
laughing at everyone.
We will talk about old aging Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys missteps. The Jets are making an effort to re-sign Robbie Anderson, Clark. So
that is soul crushingly disappointing. I really would like to see Robbie Anderson play for a coach who doesn't murder people's NFL careers for
amen. Cheers to that.
Who's that? Which team?
The Jets, Robbie Anderson, Adam Gase.
They're trying to sign him?
Yeah, they're trying to retain the production of Robbie Anderson.
Dude, he's a baller. His yards per route run are up there. He is so good.
Yep. And he would be really good on a team not in New York, run by Adam Gase.
So people don't do this quite as much, but man, wouldn't you love to see Robbie Anderson opposite of Davante Adams or so, something like, playing a Will Fuller role,
in Green Bay.
That's where the ETR, the established run guys, that's their where they want to go see and play. I think it's a perfect.
Well, it's perfect.
Be what we thought MVS was going to be.
Clark's going to upgrade from the RB1 podcast to the Establish the Run podcast with takes like this. It was just such a good take that he just kicked Nick right off the bed.
That's disappointing. I really like Robbie Anderson. A lot of these speed guys are, they're just speed guys, and you see them have shaky hands. But a couple of fellows that have come into the league, Will Fuller, I mentioned, who just can't stay healthy, but Robbie Anderson, they're speed guys who can also make some incredible catches, and they're taller than you think they are too. So these are Robbie Anderson is a guy that we've been waiting on to break out, and he has just really legitimately run into real problems that I don't think many players could overcome. So it's not that we've been waiting on it and he's been disappointing. It's been waiting on it and he, for very good reasons, hasn't. So God, I hope he can get away from the Jets.
Yeah.
Or Adam Gase. Maybe if they fire Adam Gase, that'd be fine.
That's fine, Tim. Plant my flag in the Henry Ruggs. Is this what kind of wide receiver, Hill? The speedster that Clark just talked about, who has sure hands and is bigger than you think, Henry Ruggs is also that guy. Henry Ruggs is not a burner who's going to be a bust. He is going to be a wide receiver one in this league and could be the first wide receiver off the board. So don't be surprised.
I did not realize that Robbie Anderson is 6'3".
Oh, damn. That's a big boy.
See, he's not like, this isn't disparaging to John Brown, but he's not just John Brown. Right, like it's
he's a big boy.
Yeah, he's a big guy. Well, he's 180, but yeah.
Hey, I'm 6'3",
189. It feels better if you say spelt 180.
Yeah.
Pete, how tall are you?
You're how tall am I? I'm 6'3".
No, you're not.
Yeah.
You're 6'3"?
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Yeah.
No. Nope. He's like Boston 6'3", so he's like 5'.
Says it on my license, motherfucker.
Yep. No, he is not 6'3". I don't believe it at all.
I don't know. So he's marrying a lawyer, and he does sports for a living. So he's got to have something.
6'3".
And a donor. Good for you, Pete.
Thank you. Wait, my organs are pristine. 6'3". Get on my level.
World? Yeah.
Big boy.
No, it makes sense.
You're svelte. I had you pegged for like 5'10". You're a strong man. Oh, you're a big, strong man.
Stop, you guys. before I blush my shirt right off with flattery, let's take a quick ad break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, we're back, and since we've covered the NFL news, we're going to turn our attention, it's a fantasy football podcast, so sometimes we should talk fantasy football, turn our attention to the 2020 fantasy season and talk about some potential bounce-back candidates, some guys who maybe didn't have the greatest 2019 season, either failed to live up to expectations or just kind of haven't really been able to put it together since entering the league or for a couple of years. And we're thinking that they're going to be returning to or entering fantasy prime in 2020. Nick, let's start with you. Who is one of your bounce backs for the 2020 season that you are hot on?
So I picked some teammates. Do you mind if I knock mine out?
Knock them both out then.
Cool. So I was thinking for a while about this question. I went back and as I do, was re-listening to some of the Fallout episodes of some Establish the Run stuff, and it's one stat stuck out, and their feed is free for the off season, so everybody should go subscribe. And then
everyone should also subscribe to the Fake Teams podcast.
Do that too,
and so you can listen to fantasy football, basketball, and occasionally baseball.
But one thing that really stood out to me was they were one of the top teams in the league. The Browns were one of the top teams in the league scoring on their opening drive. And what that tells you was that Todd Monken was
all talking about the Browns.
Probably. Todd Monken was killing it in the game planning, and then Freddie fucking Kitchens would take over and just tank everything. Now, we got him out of there. Dee Podesta has been given I can't remember his first name. Is Paul or John. But anyway,
Paul Dee Podesta.
Thank you. Well, I'm thinking of Hillary Clinton's chairman, but anyway, Paul Dee Podesta, he's president. He's been given the reins to the organization. He brought in Andrew Berry, analytically minded man from the Eagles. They hired Kevin Stefanski. Stefanski, you know, he was the offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. What you had there was a really well-run offense, and there's a couple things that I want to point out. The two people that I'm talking about here or Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, my goodness. Shocker. I had Baker also on my
list. Going to be a short podcast, right, cool. Boys.
Yeah, right on. Rock and roll. So here's what I'm stoked about. I'll wrap mine up. It's just a few points that I want to make. What we saw with the Vikings offense was, even though, you know, you had Zimmer trying to mess it up at every turn, they featured the tight end somewhat, but they heavily featured the slot receiver. We love to see teams that are willing to feature their slot receiver. And they also got things done on the outside in the downfield game. Now, when you look at, and they also passed two running backs on early downs, that being Dalvin Cook. So when we're looking at this whole Browns team, we've got, theoretically, Stefanski, who is already calling very intelligent, he's making intelligent play calling decisions, game plan decisions. We've got Andrew Berry piping hot facts in his ear about which plays are actually analytically good and which are bad. So when we put all these things together, right? Like Jarvis Landry he's coming off a stellar year, but we got him rocking the spot. Now we're going to have Odell Beckham Jr. rocking the downfield, Stephon Diggs type deal. Unfortunately, Chubb's probably going to take a hit because I think they'll pass their Kareem Hunt a lot on first down. But with this all really comes together to show us is that Baker Mayfield is going to have such an easier time. And I understand to the, you know, football people who are grumbling right now listening. Yeah, Baker Mayfield did on his own take some steps back, but as we say all the time, when you put your players in position to fail, what else do you expect them to do? I expect them to be scheming up really nice passing lanes for him, give him tons of options. And I am very much planning on, as we said on the last podcast episode, if you could pair someone like Baker Mayfield with like Justin Herbert, depending on where he goes, as a 1-2 option at quarterback, you got someone who's got a scrambling floor with Baker's passing ceiling, you're going to be sitting pretty. And Odell Beckham Jr., I mean, so much of what we see with veteran receivers who switch teams, it takes them a second to get acclimated. And you know, I totally fell for this last year, having him as a top three wide receiver option. More often than not, it just takes time for a wide receiver to integrate with the team. I've got really high hopes for Odell Beckham Jr. I'd feel really comfortable next year rolling into the season with him as well, my wide receiver one. And I think Baker Mayfield's going to have a really good year too.
Yeah, I've got Mayfield as one of my guys as well. And just from an expectations and perspective standpoint, Baker Mayfield had a really good rookie season. And then the Browns made a couple of hot signings. And a lot of folks made the mistake of thinking, a lot of folks, myself included, made the mistake of thinking like, oh, okay, all of this hotness is going on. Just like we did with the Eagles and Titans way back in the day. They brought in all these free agents. It's going to be great. The Browns pulled the Browns and turned back into the pumpkins that we have always known them to be. And I think the media, to make themselves look better, decided to really pile on, making the season look a little bit worse than it was. I think most of the players going into their second years together, like you mentioned with Odell switching teams, I think that's going to be really good for the Browns. It's an incredibly talented roster that is in desperate need of offensive line help. But with the Vikings angle, is this Vikings fella a Kubiak Shanahan disciple that likes to run inside zone, outside zone?
He came from a number of backgrounds. So I'm sure he learned while he was there, but he's not necessarily of that tree. He just showed that, like, hey, I like passing to this slot receiver and we'll throw running backs early.
Okay. I just need to know.
It's obviously good.
I just need to know if I need to like wildly overcommit and change my pants, because if there's another Kubiak Shanahan style guy running an offense, I know exactly who I'll be drafting in the first few rounds come August.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clark, you touched on it too. You touched on their offensive line issues, because that was a big thing for the Browns this year. And I mean, Washington seems now finally ready to trade Trent Williams. If that, the Browns have expressed interest in that, if that's something they're going to do. Also, this offensive line class looks really deep, or at the very least, the top kind of four or five guys seemingly are plug and play guys who are hyper athletic and can really protect on the outside. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns really solidify their offensive line this year, which will also just help this offense run so much smoother. I had also had Baker as one of my guys, because just we saw what he can do. And I think everything Nick said is right, where this offense is going to be much better, much more catered to what Baker can do. It's getting the ball out of his hand quickly, giving him easy reads, and letting guys like Jarvis and Odell operate in space and make people miss. And we've seen how effective that Vikings offense was with Kirk Cousins and Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. And I think that if you're taking that offensive game plan and translating it to the Browns, I would argue that the Browns have better players at every position. And you're taking this game plan that we've seen wildly effective in Minnesota, and if you're transferring it to Cleveland, I would expect even better things to come out of it.
Yeah, and last thing I want to say is right now in NFL 10s, Mayfield's going as the QB 14, and it's hard to get him much higher than that because the quarterback class is just really deep. There's just a lot of really good options. But I think Mayfield has returned to a really high potential upside play instead of last year, when you're really, really gambling on taking him early as the hype got out of hand. There will be a lot of people who were burned by him, like my second player, and I think it's going to get you a nice discount on him this year.
Clark, who's your second player?
My second player is the oft talked about last year on this podcast, Juju Smith-Schuster of the Pittsburgh football playing Steelers. It was kind of a perfect storm of misfortune in Pittsburgh last year.
a man named
Hodges. This is
Duck
also
Hodges.
The sign. Well, I wouldn't want to interrupt you quickly, Clark, but this is a sign of a true professional. A sign of a true professional from Clark Barnes. Clark spent all of last year's offseason saying that Juju was going too high. Juju wasn't going to live up to his draft spot. Like, don't take Juju this high. He's not going to be this high. Clark starts off 2020 by saying, hey, Juju's going to bounce back. I have faith in Juju. And what Clark doesn't do is start by saying, I was right about Juju. He says, Juju had a lot of there was a lot going on. The Steelers offense was, changing. Didn't have Ben Roethlisberger. Didn't have Antonio Brown. Hey, this guy's going to bounce back. That's the sign of a true goddamn professional.
Thank you, Pete. this will be the... But my arguments last year is, making the transition from playing opposite a guy like Antonio Brown is tough. And it's just really hard for receivers, even like Keenan Allen, to make that transition. Roethlisberger got hurt. Juju got hurt. That's why I'm not taking a victory lap on the Juju Smith-Schuster call. Because if he had played 16 games with Roethlisberger, he wouldn't have finished where he did. But now he is in his second year. He's got that experience of being the man, even if it was with mediocre quarterback play. And the amazing things that we've seen from Juju Smith-Schuster give me plenty of faith that he is going to figure out how to be the number one. And I think that we're going to see that this year. In NFL 10s, he's going at the end of the third round, which is still pretty pricey. But I would take him happily either at the end of the second or anywhere in the third and be really happy with it, because he is just an incredibly talented young guy. I mean, he came into the league, I think, at 19, right? So he is still super young, even though he's been around. So a lot of folks are going to feel burned from getting too excited about Juju last year, and we should not do that. We should take advantage of that, and I think Juju is going to have a big bounce back year.
Yeah, I really like what you brought up there with the age aspect. When young men are able to succeed both in college and in the pros consistently, it's a mark of real talent and not just, that a 22-year-old senior was bodying up 19-year-old. The kid's really good. He can play. And I like this call a lot. I was so high on him last year. I just thought he was going to get like 200 targets. But yeah, assuming Ben Roethlisberger can remain healthy, I think that this is a really good pick as a third round option to be a back end wide receiver one.
Yeah, no, I like him a lot this year. I had him in my top 10 for dynasty rankings. I think one of the things that I really like about him and why I think it's a lot easier for him to move on from a down year last year. I won't even say a bad year. He played 12 games. He still finished, I think, with like over 500 yards and had 3 touchdowns, which given the shit show that was the Steelers quarterbacks, like
that was good. Really good considering what was happening.
Yeah, exactly. But I love the fact that he is a Jarvis Landry type guy where you get the ball in his hands. He's great after the catch. As well as can play inside, outside, can play all over the field. So he's not necessarily a big play receiver who you were relying on those big plays in order. Like, that's where his production came from. And then if that takes a drop off at all, you're screwed. He has the ability to either be the big play guy or can also be like what Nick was alluding to. Like, I mean, he could get easy 150 targets and be a PPR monster. In 2020, which I would expect for him to be, even if Ben Roethlisberger isn't healthy. I think the Steelers are going to go into this year with a much better plan and idea of what's their quarterback position behind Ben Roethlisberger, because I honestly don't know how much Ben Roethlisberger has left, considering he looks like Tom Hanks after, lost on an island for however long he is in Castaway.
Yeah, since you mentioned it, Jarvis Landry, I just really hope everyone continues hating on Jarvis Landry for the next 6 years so I can just continue drafting him as my wide receiver 2 and just feeling real smug about it.
I feel like everyone has this bad taste in their mouth from when he was in Miami, and everyone's like, Jarvis Landry's supposed to be a wide receiver one, and all he does is catch little screen passes. And
all he does is catch 100 balls a year.
Right, and he averages 8 yards catch. He's not a wide receiver. And it's like, I don't care. He gets 100-plus catches. He gets 800-plus yards, and he gets like 7-plus touchdowns. Those are great stats. Who cares how you get them?
If we ever do boutique-style podcasts, I think me and Pete doing the Jimmy Everyman voice back and forth would be a really perfect 30 minutes of radio.
We'll do that when we do our Texans anthology. I feel like there's a lot of everyday people who voted for Texans as the team name. My bounce back, I guess one of my bounce backs, I should say, the only one left to talk about since we all picked Baker. Shows how we have a lot of faith in Baker, you guys. Draft Baker. Another wide receiver, Brandon Cooks. He had a disappointing 2019 season due to injury. He missed 2 games, but mostly I think it was a byproduct of just the Rams' offense becoming drastically worse. Their offensive line didn't hold up. Jared Goff wasn't the same. Todd Gurley wasn't the same. Call this too much confidence, too much faith, too much trust in Sean McVay, but I believe in him to reconstruct this offense and to be better prepared for 2020 with defenses figuring them out. And I think that comes with an added emphasis on Cooks. He had less than 100 targets for the first time since his rookie year and the lowest yards per reception in the last 4 years. What you can't forget about after a bad year like this that will leave a sour taste in many fantasy owners' mouths who had him, Cook is 26 years old. And he's coming off of 3 outside of this last year. The years prior, he had 3 back-to-back years of 1,000-plus receiving yards and 5-plus touchdowns. I think Robert Woods' role is going to take a step back in that offense, given his age. Slash, there's also mild rumors that maybe they'll trade him or are looking to trade him. I think that Brandon Cooks is going to have a bigger role in the Rams' offense in 2020, and I think we will start to see the 1,000-plus receiver that we have seen consistently in his career show up this year. So I'm buying all my Cook stock right now.
Yeah, I was looking through where everybody finished last year, and Cooks came to mind first, and I wrote his name down, and then I saw OBJ and decided to go with the Browns front. I believe Cooks is a really talented receiver. We talked about some receivers who are not just speed demons. He's not just a speed demon, but that is about all he does. Yes. I think what you have to do here is have faith in McVay to figure out, you know, hey, what he had done his whole coaching career that had gotten him to a Super Bowl and that was incredibly and wildly successful wasn't quite as successful. And I don't expect someone to be able to turn that cruise ship on a dime. But I do think that he's smart enough to figure it out this offseason and come up with some wrinkles. And I think a guy like Brandon Cooks can still be a huge part of that. I don't have much faith in Jared Goff, but he's okay. You know, he is okay. And so for fantasy value, if your quarterback is okay and your head coach is a really smart offensive mind, well, then that spells good for your fantasy future. So I like Cooks as a bounce back candidate.
Plus,
too.
When Tom Brady signs with the Rams, replacing Jared Goff, we already know what Brandon Cooks and Tom Brady can do together. 1,200 yards and 7 touchdowns.
I think I'm on the other side of the fence on this guy, boys. I'm just looking at the current ADPs and he's going around guys, not that I'm going to draft Darius Geis, but like Darren Waller, Hunter Henry, AJ Green, Will Fuller, Hollywood Brown, Terry McLaurin. I don't know what to make of Sean McVay right now. What Adam Levitan always talks about, he calls him like a secret donkey. And I think that there might be something to that. Like we saw, McVay when he was asked if or why he's now playing Todd Gurley a bunch as the season went on, you know, he was using him sparingly to begin the season, and then, you know, 8 weeks in or whatever, he started using him a ton, no matter what the game script was. And he said something like, "I stopped being an idiot," and I think I'm sort of forming the opinion that McVay might understand that some concepts he initially brought to Los Angeles really worked because of the people that he studied under. Correct me if I'm wrong here. He's from the Andy Reid tree. Yeah.
I think so.
I think he understood that certain things worked, but I sort of question whether or not he understands why they work. And now that his scheme has been challenged, I'm perhaps skeptical, if just uncertain whether or not he can figure things out now that he's on his own. Because what we saw last season was a bit of a train wreck. So I'm probably not going to end up with Cooks on my roster, because I think with so many mouths to feed there, the emergence of both Gerald Everett and Tyler Higbee, I just don't know if he's going to get more than 50 targets or something on the year. And even then, if they're going to be any good, will just be Hail Marys when they're losing. So I don't know. I think I'm off Cooks for now. I think as we learn more, as we see them practice and that kind of stuff go, as we see more of that, then maybe I'll change my opinion. But right now I'm pretty wary on Cook.
I like that you bring up who he was going around, and you bring up good dissenting points, for, like, you know, I like to look at MFL 10 or Best Ball 10's ADP right now, because mock draft stuff is just stupid. MFL 10 folks, it doesn't mean that you're sharp, but it's people that are paying money to do drafts in March. So there are a lot of guys going before Brandon Cooks that I know I'm just going to have Cooks above. So it's looking, at least early on, like he's going to end up on my team. You know, CeeDee Lamb, Mike Williams, Jerry Jeudy, Jamison Crowder, Darius Slayton. Okay, so I must be much higher than the public on Cooks.
Yeah.
And it is a faith move. Nick, if things stay the same, you're going to be absolutely right. McVay looked a little lost with a pretty talented roster. He wasn't able to make the team look very good in season. I am the speculative buyer here, saying things are going to change. And that's, that doesn't always work out.
No, that's a good point. The MFL 10 aspect, I'm just looking at a fantasy football calculator. So this
we're close.
Sort of, aggregate. Yeah.
He's right around where you said, though, because, like, I mean, I didn't mention the guys that I like around him, like
the Fuller, Robert Anderson, with the guys he mentioned.
Yeah, right. I wanted to prove point, not your point.
But I would even go Cooks over Fuller right now. Just, I know Fuller has a much higher ceiling because we've seen just greatness out of Fuller. But I mean, do you really trust him to play 10 games in 2020?
That's going to be tough, man. That's going to be studying every single practice report coming out of Houston, right, to figure out what he's doing.
Do we think that,
fingers crossed,
David Johnson is worth drafting in fantasy in 2020? Talk to me. Tell me why I should not be spending a way too early pick on him.
Oh, you said early pick on David Johnson.
I feel like he is the clear guy in my mind who I'm like, he's going to bounce back in 2020. But I feel like I've said this also ever since his one good year. And so I'm trying to convince myself otherwise, that it's actually not going to happen, and that David Johnson maybe just isn't as good as we think he is.
You're betting on a huge change, and that can be tough. I think if David Johnson remains on the Cardinals, that we saw what a relatively healthy David Johnson was worth to his coaching staff, and that was almost nothing. Right now I'm showing him going at the end of the third round, and that's where guys like this go before they either bounce back into the first round and win you your championship, or they start going in the seventh, eighth round, as only the true believers will still draft them after another bad season.
Yeah, I think it's really just going to depend on who is around him. That'll determine whether or not he even gets much of a crack at the starting gig. Kenyon Drake looked awesome. That being said, DJ was definitely hurt. You know, he had nagging back injuries, and there's more to that than, well, there's more than meets the eye insofar as he was definitely hurt. To the eye, he looked pretty bad at times. Yeah, this is a very similar answer to Fuller, that we're going to need to see practice reports. We're going to need to see, hear from beat writers that we trust, how he looks. And I can tell you right now, I'm not taking him in the third round.
Is that where he's going? Yeah.
Patrick Clark just had.
He's number. He's, I mean, it's, the 34th player off the board in NFL 10s. And there's a lot of variance in there. They give you the standard deviation on it, but it's usually a pretty good space.
Assuming Kenyon Drake is still there, that is. Now, right, if Drake's gone, agent. Then yeah. Yeah. Well, right. So if they sign him, you know, if they re sign him, which I think they'd be foolish not to.
Yeah. On next week's pod, we should consider doing. Who's Damian Williams? Who's Arian Foster? The breakout running backs from 2019 that will murder your team or win you a championship next year.
I like it. Well, there you go. Tune in next week for who will murder your team. Brought to you by Ray Lewis. All right.
Never forget.
Never forget. Make sure to subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts. On iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, the whole nine yards. We are there. Follow us on Twitter at RB1 Podcast. Follow myself at Pete M. Rogers. Follow Clark at NFL Clark and Nicholas. Follow him at Ginger__Nick without a K. We will be back at you next week to talk about breakout 2019 running backs who are destined to murder your team. Until then, peace!